Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If there is something scary or difficult, something tragic that you have to face in your life, it's my opinion that it's always better to be warned about it in advance. Because then if it comes as a surprise, then on top of that difficult thing, that tragedy, that pain, that agony that you have to endure, now there's this sense of shock, this sense of uncertainty on top of that. So I think it's always better to be warned, because then at least you still have to endure that difficulty, you still have to go through that pain, but you know about it in advance. You don't have to be also dealing with that surprise. Now this concept can be used in a lot of good ways, and I think one way that is being used in a positive sense is with flying on airlines. I think it's way more common now for pilots to get on the intercom and to warn you about turbulence. Because if you're flying along and you're drinking your pop and you're reading your book and suddenly it feels like the plane drops and everything starts shaking, your mind instantly thinks, this is startling, this is scary, this was unexpected, I wonder if something's gone wrong, I wonder if something, if there's a huge problem. But if the pilot gets on the intercom and says, in about 15 minutes it's going to get a little bit bumpy, and 15 minutes later it gets a little bit bumpy and you think, this was planned all along, this was expected, there's nothing wrong, and now this is not a big deal at all. Now this concept of being warned about difficulty before you endure it, this is one of the purposes for what we call in Scripture apocalyptic literature. So these are the parts of the Bible that tell us about the end times, that predict what's going to happen, that prophesy to us, that say, this is exactly how it will be. And part of the reason for this is a warning. It's saying that in the end times, at Judgment Day, things are going to be difficult. Things are especially going to be difficult for the people of God. And it's going to continue to get more and more difficult as we get closer and closer to the day when Jesus returns. But along with these warnings in this apocalyptic literature, there's also promises. So God comes to you in his word and he promises you that as that day approaches, that day will not lead to your destruction, but to your redemption, to your glory. God promises you that day is not the last day, it's not the end for you as a child of Christ, that is the beginning of your eternal life in heaven. And God promises you in these parts of Scripture that as you think about that day, as you think about judgment, that you don't have to have any fear or worry in your heart. You don't have to worry about standing before your righteous judge, because that judge has already declared your verdict. So as you think about these things, now that we are in this season of the church here, that we talk about the end times, we talk about eternity, we talk about heaven, we talk about Judgment Day, we talk about the last days. From our reading today, God wants you to go home today knowing that this is not something that should cause you dread and fear. That as you think about standing before your judge, this is not written for you to make you worried and concerned. But these words are written for you for your comfort. And that as you think about the last day, as you think about Jesus returning, that this is something that we get to be excited for. So understand and know that what God says here is absolutely true, that Judgment Day absolutely is coming. But be excited for it. So let's read our text here from our gospel, from Luke chapter 21. We'll begin reading at verse 5. This is printed for you on page 7 in your bulletin. I invite you to please rise for the reading. As some were talking about the temple, how it was decorated with beautiful stones and offerings, Jesus said, "These things that you see here, the days will come when there will not be one stone left on another. Every one will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will these things happen? What is the sign that these things are about to happen?" He said, "Watch out so that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not follow them. Whenever you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be terrified. For these things must happen first, but the end will not be right then." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and plagues in various places. There will be horrifying sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, handing you over to synagogues and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. It will turn out to be your opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare beforehand how to defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends. They will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all people for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By patient endurance, you will gain your lives. Dear Heavenly Father, these words are yours, and so we know that they are the truth. We ask that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. No matter what religion or worldview you follow or listen to, every single one has a teaching about the end times. Even in our secular world, if you just Google, how will the world end? There are numerous scientific articles about secular scientists giving their best ideas about how life will cease on this earth. And they all agree that there is a time limit, that life cannot be sustained on this planet forever. So the big limit is 1 billion years. Within 1 billion years, there will be no life possible on planet Earth. You think that's scary, but if you watch the news, if you read articles online, you know that we are warned that secular scientists believe that doomsday is much closer than 1 billion years away. In January of this year, scientists set a doomsday clock to 100 seconds to midnight. That sounds super ominous, and that's the reason. That's the purpose. So this clock basically is secular science's way of saying, be careful. Because of climate change, because of the threat of nuclear war, if we don't change something, if we don't do something and take some drastic action, catastrophe is right around the corner. Now, I don't bring this up to get political, but I absolutely believe it's essential that as Christians, we examine what the world teaches us about the end times, about how the world will end, and about the threats involved there, and what Scripture teaches us about the end times, and compare those, and test it for the truth, right? So what does the world teach us about the end times? According to the world, this final catastrophe is our doing, right? Whether it be by climate change or nuclear war, the world will end because of something that we have done, the actions of human beings. And it tells us that this end is terrible and it's horrible and it's something to absolutely be avoided. And it says that to avoid this catastrophe at the end of the world, to avoid the end times, the solution is us. Right? We need to live differently. We need to make the right decisions. We need to elect the right leaders. And then maybe if we do everything right, we can push off this doomsday a little bit further down the road. Now let's compare that to what Scripture teaches. Scripture agrees that there absolutely is a clock ticking down the centuries and the years, the minutes, until the end of the world, until Jesus returns in bodily form. And when Jesus returns in bodily form, that will be the last day. But no one has access to that clock. No one can see how much time is left except for God. Jesus says no one knows when that day and hour will be. So yes, we agree, there is a clock ticking, but we have no idea how much time is left. It could be minutes, it could be millennia. Now, according to the Bible, this final day also, again, is our fault, right? And if you think about it, God created Adam and Eve in the perfection of the Garden of Eden. Everything was perfect. His creation was not tainted by sin at all. And he steps back and what does he say? It is very good. God's intention was for Adam and Eve to live there permanently. This was a permanent home for Adam and Eve until they fell away from him, until they sinned. And that sin, it didn't just affect them. It affected all aspects of God's creation. Now it's corrupted, and now God looks at it and he says, now I see fit for there to be one day, a last day, right? A day when this corrupted creation that has been corrupted by sin is done away with, and when I bring my people to a new creation, a place that sin has not touched. So God sees fit that one day there will be a last day. But now, the solution. Now that is a huge difference between what the world says and what God says. What the world says is it's up to us, right? Our decisions, our actions, our collective effort to make it so that this does not happen. But Scripture very much disagrees. If we read God's word, it's pretty clear that it's not nuclear war and it's not climate change that will end this world. It is Jesus. Right? According to God's word, there is nothing that we can do to prevent when he comes back. There's nothing that we can do to push that day off. It is set, and God knows exactly when it will be. As you think about standing before your righteous judge in your sin, there's nothing that we can do to save ourselves, no decisions we can make. There's no politician that we can elect to make this problem of the last day go away. We will be judged. But the solution is not us, it's Jesus. Right? Scripture teaches this from beginning to end, that the solution to this problem of me being judged in my sin by a righteous judge is this Savior who has already come. Right? The Son of God who came to take my place, who even though he had no sin, he became sin for us so that in him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. And this changes everything. Right? In Jesus, we have the forgiveness of sins. In him we have redemption. In him, this righteous judge no longer sees me as a sinner. And so when this happens, it changes everything. And this happens when we are given the gift of faith. Right? So when you are given this gift of faith, what happens is you are united to your Savior, who has already come and done all the work and already won the victory over sin, death, and the devil. You are united to him. What happens is also a transfer. Right? So in this transfer, this righteousness that belongs to Jesus now belongs to you, right? All of your sin, the punishment that you deserve for it, all of that was transferred to him, right? So he gives us his righteousness. We give him our sin, and he wears that sin on the cross, and he suffers for it. He suffers hell for it. He dies in our place so that we get to live with him. And now since we are united to Christ, now that God looks at us, we know that when he looks at us, he doesn't see us in our sin. He doesn't see us for who we truly are. He sees us with Christ's perfection. Right? We have been justified. We know that since we wear his righteousness, that we have been declared not guilty. Right? God has slammed down that gavel when he looks at us. He knows you have already been declared that you have been declared righteous. And again, for us, this changes absolutely everything. As you think about Judgment Day, this turns our view of it 100%. Because think about Judgment Day if we're still in our sin. Right? Judgment Day means that God clearly sees everything that we've done wrong. He clearly sees that I have failed to live up to his requirements, to his standards. I have sinned. I am unrighteous. And he judges me. He declares me guilty just as I deserve and sends me to hell for eternity. That's terrifying. Right? Apart from Christ, Judgment Day is a disastrous day that should cause us heartache and worry and terror. But with Christ, it's a completely different story. Through faith, you must remember that now you wear the righteousness of Christ. So you get to live with all the confidence in the world that as you stand before that righteous judge on the last day, you get to do that wearing Jesus' holiness. Right? You get to stand before that judge wearing Jesus' perfection. And it's that which makes you able to enter through those gates of eternal life. So this means that as this day, as we look ahead to Judgment Day, that this is not a day to dread. Right? This is not a day to fear. This is a day that we get to pray for. Right? We get to pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. I'm excited to be judged, not because I think that I'm perfect, not because I'm confident in myself, but because I know what Jesus has done for me. I know that my Savior has redeemed me. I know that his righteousness covers my sin, that on Judgment Day, I get to be with my God forever. Right? That's the confidence. That's the gift of hope, the gift of joy that we get to live with every single day of our life. We as sons and daughters of the King who hear his promises and put our faith in them, we yearn for his return. Right? Because we know that it means that it's an end to the sufferings. It's an end to the hardship, the difficulty, the mourning, the death that we see here in this world. It means that it's the beginning of living permanently in the perfection of his creation. Right? God is going to restore everything and it will be absolutely perfect, and it will not be corrupted by sin. It will be one in which there is no death, there is no pain, there are no tears, there is no sin. And as Christians, that's something to get excited about. Right? We eagerly await that day. We're excited because it means that everything wrong in our world and in our life will be made right again. And we'll be in the presence of our God forever. Right? And that's awesome. That is the finish line that God holds out to us to say, this is a guaranteed thing. This is something that you can look forward to with confidence because of what Jesus has done for you. But then in texts like the one that we have today, in a lot of this apocalyptic literature, there are also warnings. Right? Jesus here, he gives us an idea of what the world is going to be like before he returns, and it's not a great picture. Right? Many will come in my name saying, I am he, saying the time is near. It says, whenever you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be terrified, for these things must happen first. But the end, it will not be right then. There will be natural disasters, famines, plagues. Christians will be persecuted. Christians will be betrayed by their friends, their relatives. Christians will be put to death. People will hate us because we claim the name Jesus Christ, because we profess the gospel. He's saying, yes, things will be difficult. But what a blessing it is for us to be warned about this first. Right, think about this, to know that these things are not unexpected. Because as we get closer and closer to Judgment Day and things get worse and worse for Christians, our minds are not going to instantly go to, what if something went terribly wrong? Right, what if the forces of evil are actually overcoming the forces of good? Look at God's people, they're being persecuted around the world. What if God's forgotten about us? What if he's changed his mind and he looked at our sin and he said, no, I'm not going to come back. I'm not going to redeem them. But then Jesus gives us these warnings, and this means that as we endure these things, we can do that with confidence. Right? That means that we don't have to worry about any of that. He already knew all of this. And as we suffer for proclaiming his name, the name of our Savior, we know that he is right beside us, walking with us, comforting us, pointing us back to his word, pointing us back to his promises, the promises to which he is faithful, to every single one until every single one is fulfilled. And we're enjoying eternity with him in heaven. So yes, there will be hardship. But what is the final promise in our text here for this morning from our Lord? Not a hair on your head will perish. We may be persecuted, we may be handed over, we may be hated because of the name of Jesus, but there is nothing that can defeat us. Right? There is nothing in all existence that can separate us from the love of God that is ours through faith in Jesus Christ. Because the victory has already been won. And it wasn't won by us, it wasn't won by anything we did, by any decision we made, by any effort in ourselves, it was won by our Savior. So as these things happen, as the world becomes more hostile towards our God, as the world becomes more hostile to us proclaiming the gospel, we can lift up our heads and know that our redemption is drawing near. And as God gives us the ability to patiently endure these difficult things at the end of the world as we wait for him, don't dread this. Right? Don't be scared of this. Get excited. Remember that you have been given the gift of faith, that you have been united to your Savior. And because of that unity, because you wear his righteousness, we know that on the last day, that day of judgment, that we will gain our lives in heaven. Amen. Please rise for the blessing. The peace which surpasses all understanding will guard and keep your hearts in faith through Christ Jesus. Amen. We invite our